Isaiah 47. Come down and sit in the dust. Now, it says, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Now, again, we have reached a point in our understanding, we have reached a point in our view of life in which there's only two left. There's only the bride and the harlot. There's nothing else left in the universe. We've left the world. The world is gone. We are only now in this place where the worship of Baal is being destroyed, and that's the worship of cause and effect. Now, the reason that this is a call to come down, it's to come down from your own glory, from the idea of your own glory. Come down and sit in the dust. Okay? Understand? Abase yourself to the level of the dust. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for your Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people, I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. And thou sayest, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, and neither did remember the latter end of it. Therefore hear now this, that thou art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. Thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsel. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble, the fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter, and none shall save thee. Now that chapter, in my opinion, is the explanation of the exposure of shame. Can you hear it? Can you see it? Your sorceries and your enchantments are the things that you have done to cause you from seeing the self that has been alienated, the self that died at separation, that you have tried to make believe exists. Now it's time. Now, it's taken a long time to get to this point. I mean, do you understand? This is going to happen. Now, I prefer that it happen in a friendly environment before the time come to pass.
Who's warming up?
Do Doug tomorrow night.
Is verse 12 where you say, produce your strong cause? Yeah. Go ahead.
Use your stuff.
Yeah, use your stuff. Use your shit.
See if it'll work now. Yeah. No. I felt like we were at the ranch when we were reading.
What?
I felt like we were at the ranch.
Yeah, this has been read in so many hot seats that you kind of get that feeling like, when you're reading it, you know.
I've had this one for a while. Muscle memory.
Now, look at verse 3. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent, and get thee into darkness. Anyway, I want you to read, and in your own time, but read 47, 48, 49, and that's really the process. And then you got to come to this in verse 40, in 49, verse 1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft, in his quiver hath he hid me. And said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with God. It's the perception of vanity, and yet surely. It's the idea of Revelation 14, where he talks that says that. Well, let's go there so you have it in your notes. Go to Revelation 14. Don't leave Isaiah 49. Verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. You've got to understand that for most people, their works lead them. And their works lead them because they're shame-based. Therefore, they can't be, they have to do. Therefore, they can never hear the word of the Lord. They can never be doers of the word. They have to be hearers only. Because they can never separate that. They have to, their identity is locked into doing and not being. Back to 49. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet will I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. And thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, unto his Holy One. Remember what we just read in 47, the Holy One of Israel is his name. To whom man despiseth, to whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see thee and arise, princes shall also worship because of the Lord that is faithful. And the Holy One of Israel shall choose thee. And thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation I have helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. Now the desolation has to be. You have to come to the place where you say there is no hope, there is no life, there is no sound here. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. In other words, the high place activity is now the food. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highway shall be exalted. Behold, these come from afar, lo, these from the north and from the west and from the land of Sinon. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forgotten me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that make thee waste shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride. Anyway, that's enough. Can you see the contrast? But you have to go through this. You have to get. You can't get there from here without going through this.
You either got the peace offering, or you got these eating these things in the high places. It's going to be one or the other.
Now let's go to Genesis 3.
That thing about Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me and my Lord hath forgotten me. That's the whole reason behind shame in the first place, because you feel that.
That's where you're forgotten. Now what you have to know is it's all been a lie from the beginning. It's the one lie that he has deceived the whole world. You have never been separate from the Lord. And because you have never been separate from the Lord, and we have never been separate from the Lord, therefore we have never been separate from you. In all those places and times when you thought you were forsaken, not only was the Lord there, that's too esoteric. We were there. That's why he says, I wrought unto you fathers, because you've been with him from the beginning. If we've been with him from the beginning, then I've been with you from the beginning. There's never been a time when you've been not with the body. Everything else has been a lie. And that's why shame is the sin. Because shame causes the attempts at self-realization. Shame is the fall worked out in you. The same as the fall had to work out in, and now it's reached a point where it served its purpose. What was its purpose? The purpose of shame, the purpose of the fall, was to cause each of us to push the barriers as far as they could go, so that we would come back to the Holy One of Israel, knowing that that we have tried everything else and we chose him above all things. You understand? He had to let us go.
Is there some correlation between that and the fact that God descended into this place in the form of flesh and walked for 30 years?
Well, I mean, obviously, that's the reason that it can
same
come.
Thing?
That's the reason it can come.
I mean, is it the same thing?
No. I don't know what you mean, but it's not. Anyway.
It's like it's hidden because it happened so early that you can't, and it was such a totally, I guess, emotional thing that happened at the first point that you can't reason yourself out of it.
You can't language. You can't. Hear me. That's the reason why we read about sorceries and enchantments. There was no, you had no capacity for sorcery and enchantment. You had no, you.
Otherwise, you could reason it away.
Well, we were bred in sin. I mean, it's just the whole thing about if you don't sin. I mean, there's something about it being beyond anything.
Well, yeah, but hear me. Except you be converted and become as the small child. Yeah. So there had to be the type in the small child. The small child is a technical word. It's technon. And it means darling infant. It means before self-awareness. The self-awareness starts at the point of the fall. If there's no fall, there can be no self-awareness. So you have to be converted and become as the little child before self-awareness. And how is that? With no possibility to conceive that separation is possible. Yeah. You understand? So we were the idea that we were bred, I mean that we were in sin, did my mother conceive me? That's not the act of sin. But it's the act that we know that in that brief slice of 18 months from the birth to the self-awareness was a type. No, we're going to worship the type. We're not going to set some little fucking kid up there and say, oh, well, we're going to see. That was the type of what we returned to. And that fall that occurred before there was any reason for the fall. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Esau had to be separate. All the types have to come into play here. You understand? There's only one story being told. Don't literalize any aspect of it.
Just for a question on this, then why would it not have been at the point of before you were a child of the law? I mean, up until that point, I mean, you must be a little child, you know, up until the point you become a child of the law, that was the type.
I don't know what you mean.
Because you have the capacity to mentally.
You're mixing the metaphors, it sounds like. But
I don't know if I'm mixing. I'm asking you a question.
Okay. I don't understand the question.
I'm trying to remember back whenever you talked about Jesus before, while he was a child.
He was declared innocent by the law.
That's it. That's what I'm trying to get.
This was before the law.
Okay.
This is a real young child. What? Talking about a minute ago.
Yeah, this is technon, darling infant, before 18 months.
Okay, so that's before even that area.
Yeah, again, in the scriptures, this happened before there was any law.
You
understand? So, the idea, the act of Christ being, and you being innocent of the before you became a son of the law, the bar or beth of the bar mitzvah, you're not a child of, you're not a darling infant of the law. That's not what that says.
Okay. It's
two different technical words. Okay, so, I mean, but it literally is two different ways of looking at it. It's God in his wisdom saying, here's one picture of how you see the mystery. Now we bring it over here, and now here's another picture of how you see the mystery. Then we bring it over here, and there's another picture, just like there's, as we talked about, there's the types of Israel itself to show that we're separated, the church is separated from the world, and it's called. There's the types of Levites to show that we don't have any inheritance. None of us have any inheritance. There's a type of the priest, but, I mean, none of those things have any meaning. They're all types to show the church a picture. As we see him, we shall be like him.
And denominations lock on to one aspect of it.
Yeah, they dominate, whether it's a philosophy or denomination or anything, they literalize a parable. And then but they can't just literalize one. They have to literalize one's impossible, so then there's two. And before long, there are thousands. So they're not worshiping one God, they're worshiping a thousand gods. They're worshiping everything that they think is important. You understand? Because they've literalized one parable, then by definition, they literalize thousands of parables. It has to be the fruit. That's why it's so evil to take and make one thing important over another. Every time any of you have ever gotten any in troubles, it's when you literalized a parable. Okay?
This thing, this state, self-awareness that I have always thought that was a positive thing.
Self-awareness is the fault.
I know. I mean, I now am finding that out. I've always thought that self-awareness was like a desired thing. It was a good thing. When you reached this stage, you had graduated into something. But that state that's double-mindedness. That's, by definition, the person is split, and I'm over here being aware of
the
thing called self. Is that the point where you have a conscious and a subconscious? Do you not have a subconscious before that point? Or
That's not an issue. But hear me. Shame causes a split within you, not conscious and subconscious. Shame causes you to become alienated from yourself. And you become the one that is fallen knows it. And it's perceived as death within the organism. It's perceived as a consciousness that they have no right to exist, they have no purpose in being here, that they are defective. That position can't maintain. There has to then be if that were the case, they would die. They have to be alienated from themselves, and literally, they create their own personality. And that's what each of us have done. We've molded it, and we've used our sorceries and enchantments to create this being that is alienated from this core. That's this thing down here died at the fall. Understand? In dying, ye shall surely die. This thing over here, one of the heads that was wounded unto death, was raised from the dead, i.e. Revelation 13. And all the world wondered after this beast. Can you hear me? This is total. This isn't any optional stuff. We have to integrate these two so that there's no more alienation. You have to experience that death and mourn for it for 3 days. And as you're mourning, a mystery takes place. A resurrection happens. Now, this is what shame is about. This is why the world has no possibility of dealing with shame. This is why the 30 pieces of silver are so common. It's the redemptive act that causes societies to be a society. That's why Jesus said, "You are they that justify yourselves among men. But God knoweth your hearts, for those things that are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God." Why? Because they're an abomination, because they're the fruit of the sale of the 30 pieces of silver. That transaction between Judas and the Sadducee who doesn't believe in the resurrection. Can you understand? There isn't anything real in life. It's all manufactured. Every personality on the face of the earth has been manufactured from this point of alienation by the enchantments and sorceries that we just read about in Isaiah 47. And you who are protecting yourselves and justifying yourselves, that's the act If any man on the face of the earth justifies himself, it's the evidence of shame. If any man on the face of the earth points the finger towards another, it's the evidence of shame. If any man on the face of the earth compares himself to another, it's the evidence of shame. Not just, oh, I'm ashamed that I'm picking my nose. It's pathological shame.
I get that feeling. I mean, I experienced it a while ago. I think it was at the point whenever he said, you're mixing the parable, and it's like something within me just like shrank, and I just felt like
you'd give your wrong answer to the class
or something. I don't know. It's like, you know, something within me wished I didn't exist.
Yeah.
I mean, I just wished I didn't exist. I felt dead from, with no hope.
Yeah, because that, it was a repeat in the memory of that first point. Now, what we each have to do is re-experience that point and embrace it. What he just experienced was what this shame thing is about. Because he experienced a point where really, you know, and it wasn't a point that anyone else, nobody else may consider a major, probably wasn't anything, probably didn't even notice it. But it triggered something that caused a memory to go back to a point where you felt totally and completely unworthy. I mean, I mix parables all the time. I mix them up. I mean, I have to catch myself to do it because you do the mixing of the metaphors when you're testing it against everything. There's no shame in it. It's just it's all of us do it. And I mean, there's no way of learning. I could never have learned unless.
It's just shame. There's shame for me. But I don't believe the lie except for it. I mean that's the bottom line at this point.
Right, because there's another option. There's another thing that has been proven by abiding. That's why abiding is the only thing that can manifest this stuff.
I mean, there was, experience and everything we're talking about of being cut off, you know, of hopeless for a moment, and thinking that if I... And just being, you know, I could feel the effect of being driven further and further and further away. I mean, it was like falling into an abyss just sitting here. That if I hadn't said something, you know, I would have gone into a spiral of separation.
Right. And it would, it was like each person in the body has a different response to shame. All of the shame is the same, and it's all equal. There's no bigger one than another in the spirit. But the ones that are, whose response to shame is nearest to the surface, have to lead the way. Because some of the people in the body don't know what shame, I mean, they don't know what it is until they can experience it or see it. You know what I mean? You know, that's why I had to be the first one that went in Bananas, because a whole bunch of the people in Bananas couldn't have experienced what the hot seat process was about, or the shame seat was, without him having experienced it that depth. And the fact that it was traumatic for him caused Liz's to be... And that's the only thing that makes suffering real. Otherwise... I mean, this is where the tilt in theology just gets exposed for its paucity, because it trivializes suffering.
It takes away the instrument of freedom.
Yeah.
It takes the keys away.
So at that moment,
it's... But anyway, that's a really big thing, and I mean, I love you. I mean, it's just like, I feel closer to you right now than I ever have in my life.
Yeah, I feel close to you too. You know...
Because I know it was.
But I'm thankful that there was talking about it, because you know it's like experiencing it and living it, and you know the 3 days in the grave and the whole, you know, all of it was real to me.
Man.
I hope it's real to everybody else. You know that
back to Genesis 3.
You know, he said something that reminded me, I don't want to interrupt Stephanie, that when, I forget even how it was, but one time, and it hadn't been that long ago, that you got off talking about Jesus knowing this place, you know, and...
Oh yeah, Mark 15.
Something about that, you know, that he knows this place. I mean, it's not a place removed. It makes it real.
Amen.
I mean, and not a separate thing that I could go through that I wasn't suffering with. Anyway, what'd you say, guys?
Genesis 2 now.
What, at that point that this happens, is it a perception of the truth or the lie of separation or both? I mean, is it the truth about yourself or is it only the lie of separation?
It's the truth that this evil one is permanently separated from God. It's the truth that this is the chief of sinners.
Mm-hmm. So it's both.
It cannot be redeemed.
Mm-hmm. So it's the realization of your true condition.
Right. And it's irredeemable. And your only hope is no more the light that you've kindled or the sparks that you've kindled or the life that your own hand has found or the life that you've found in your wicked devices or the other enchantments that you've created. Your only hope is the resurrection. Without any effort on your part.
All I know is I didn't want to be seen. I didn't want you looking at me, you know, for that brief time. I didn't want to be seen. And you know, that's, you know, the moment that I was able to say something, you know, I was free in that moment.
Amen.
You know, but there was a time, and I it's hard to explain it, you know, of not wanting, who wasn't wanting to be seen? I can't even, you know, the moment of it, it was like not wanting to have my face looked at, not wanting to look straight, wanting to put on a face. I mean, I kept playing with my pen, anything to hide my real expression.
That's why the expressions of shame are, you know, I wished I could die. I wished I could crawl into a hole. I wished I didn't exist. I wished I was invisible. I wished I could hide. I mean, that's all of the expressions of shame. How come you're listening again when we just went through this once before? Are you a slow learner?
Yeah. The last two nights at the lair, this has happened to me. Last night when I was closing the blinds, you said something to me about closing the blind, waiting until it got dark by closing the blinds. And there was something in that I just felt terrible. A nanosecond of shame. And then covered it over. And then tonight to think about it, when you said, oh look, he's got a reason to exist. I felt it then, and then when you said something, I felt it, and then when you said something, I felt it. And each time it was just this awful mortification at the dinner table or around the dinner table.
I can only say that at least we know about it. Yeah. I mean, we spent years, every one of us, in that place of death that we didn't know what was, and we just did it by nature and continued to mortify ourselves and hurt ourselves and do all those things, and there was no hope. You know, that's the big difference.
And this what we're talking about is, I mean, I'm starting to feel it during the day. I'm starting to be aware of those moments. And they're not just moments when, like, if you would say something to me, but they're moments when I become aware of me doing something. It was like yesterday, or the day before yesterday, stepping into the room to say something to that guy, whatever his name is, the IRS guy. Whatever's the lead guy.
Wade. He's not the lead.
Well, whatever he is. Like, it was like I stepped into the room to say something to him.
Where?
Huh?
At my office?
No, right here.
Oh.
To ask him something. And it was like I felt the shame of doing it because I realized what I was doing. So,
what was
I was trying to say, hey, I'm here and I belong here and I have a reason to be here. Look at me, pay attention to me. That's what I was doing. I mean, it looked like I was asking if he needed something, but what I was really doing was saying, hey, look at me. It's sort of spontaneous combustion kind of stuff.
And what happened, it happened in the we had the LERS people up, and they are super sensitive about stuff, and so because of their own laws, I mean, the federal laws about
privacy.
Yeah, so Harry comes into the dinner, and he sits down at the end of the table, and he starts telling him all the stories about how, that he knows all about what they're doing, and he was in the dumpster and getting caught. I mean, it's like, I was going crazy. And then finally I just said, Harry, shut up, or something like that. And the, and you could see the look of relief on the those agents. My, I mean, it was like, thank God. But he was doing it because of this. He's this little fat kid that is totally shame-based, that has that is just ashamed. He's afraid that he has no purpose. He's mortally defective. And he's running around saying, hi, look at me, I'm important. There's somebody here, hi. And it drives me up the wall. Because, I mean, it becomes, in what we're doing now, it's like, it's no longer, before I used to just tolerate it. But now it becomes impossible to tolerate. So for his sake, he has to be free of it. Otherwise, I'll kill him.
Well, spontaneous combustion is starting.
I mean, you understand? I mean, he single-handedly could ruin and pollute the Attorney General or the IRS's investigation just by opening his mouth.
Pretty important fellow, Harry.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. You could really screw something up. I don't know.
He said, I ain't talking to no more women. I said, it sounds like you'd be better off talking to women than the government agents.
No, it's going to get it right.
No, it's a matter of not being controlled by those stimuli any longer. Then there's freedom. Then he, and I mean, as I said, then I, it doesn't matter, but as long as I know he's still got those tentacles from the past.
You know, the thought just came to me, you know, with every one of us, Harry too, every one of us, that God wouldn't be doing, you know, doing this if he meant to keep us under a basket. I mean, we don't know. I mean, he may shoot us out like one of those little flowers that just puff and it's blown apart. You know, he wouldn't be exercising us in this manner if there wasn't a need. You know, God is not he's not vicious or vindictive or does something out of capriciousness.
Well, Genesis 2.
Let me say one thing. Last night we looked up shame in the concordance.
Bosh.
And it was one of the definitions was like a scornful whispering by an unfriendly crowd. And it's like that's how your board of elders, you know, when you do something they turn and whisper to each other and you're shamed. And so that's where you're responding to trying to prove, get approval from those board of elders so you won't be so.
All right. I want you to notice something in here. Genesis 2. In verse 15, and the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. Now, dress it and keep it, I mean, we get the wrong visual. The context is to explore the mystery, to know the mysteries. That's what those words, dress it and keep it, really mean. You remember what, like when we learned that helpmate meant companion antagonist?
Everything made sense.
Well, this dressing and keeping, it has the Zohar says it. It's to understand and let me say this, it's like to understand and appreciate, yeah, appreciate the mysteries of the garden.
So that makes a lot of sense.
Huh?
This otherwise it's just work.
What does, yeah.
Keep it. I mean, God Almighty, it's a big place. You know?
Just think of how many trips he has to make to Home Depot.
What he really made him for was to walk around going, holy
he
shit.
He didn't understand subcontracting.
Yeah. Okay.
Who's going to do the work?
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, it's so simple now. We understand it. You can touch it. You can understand its mysteries. You can look at it. You can turn it around. You can even cut it open. You can dissect it. You can analyze it thoroughly. You cannot gain sustenance from it. Now, Satan took it and said, you can't touch it. So therefore, once you couldn't touch it, it gave it majesty, it gave it power.
Is this like dealing with the principles of God?
The
good and evil?
No, good and evil is what to be godlike. That's reserved for God. To judge good and evil, to determine good and evil, is to be a god. To determine right and wrong. God doesn't want any gods before him, including you. So your mind, you are now in the temple of God, the Antichrist, the instead of Christ, setting yourself into the temple of God, showing yourself that you are God. Why? Because you have to, because of the fall that's about to take place. Eat it, it means you gain sustenance from it. To touch it, to explore it, to investigate it, means you understand the mysteries. You explore the mysteries, but you gain no sustenance from it.
Oh, I see. So you don't make it God. If you eat it, you're...
Well, if you eat it, then you judge for yourself good and evil. Okay. Now, think how many times today you're judging for yourself good and evil, right and wrong.
What's going to accrue to life? What's going to accrue to death?
Yeah, well, it's that you should have no... You can't do that if you have no self-awareness. Do you understand that?
Issuing pronouncements. This is right. This is wrong.
Okay. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat thereof, or eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now remember what it says. It says, in dying, you shall die. Again, that's the point of the shame. Do you understand that? Shame is death. Shame is death. You got it?
Say that again. Shame is death.
And the Lord said it. Above the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Or in dying, thou shalt die. Okay, that's what happened to you when you became aware of self. The moment you became aware of self, because of the sin of Adam, you judged right and wrong, good and evil. It was bad to be away from my mother. I then judge good and evil because I became self-aware. In that moment, I was totally, completely shame-based and I died. Yeah. Isn't that what I've been saying all night?
It's just so cute. Why?
Did Christ experience this at the same age and everything?
Probably not. I'll tell you why later.
He
he died by...
And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Now, look, this is just crazy if you think about it. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and he brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Now, Zohar says that it was Satan that caused Adam to name him. That was the first step in the fall. But again, it was God that did it. But you understand? It was language became the instrument of sorcery. Language became the instrument of enchantment. Language became the instrument of the con to yourself and to others. He couldn't have fallen without language. Do you understand? It would have been possible for man to fall without language, without naming. If you haven't heard the language tapes, I beg you to listen to them. Are there 9?
9, 10, 11.
They're some of the best things we've ever done. But anyway, the fall couldn't take place until there was language. Can you at least accept that a minute?
Yeah.
Because
it gives you
the fall had to say that I'm not content in the state I'm in.
And that's basically when kids talk, is it start to talk as they can.
Right. For the same reason. That's the incentive to talk.
Up till now, the food was okay.
This is pretty esoteric, but it's really simple. But it seems esoteric because it's not in our normal understanding. But it's really simple. Okay. And Adam gave names. Called. Adam gave names. To all cattle.
Which is, hold on. I don't understand. I mean, God brought them to Adam to see what he would call them.
Right.
I mean, he assumed he would call them something.
Right. He was tested by Satan. You understand that Satan can only operate at the will of God?
Yeah, but God brought him the animals to see what he would call it. And Adam was tempted by Satan?
No, listen.
Language was the vehicle of the test?
Language... Let's assume if we did it another way. Let's assume that we said it and it's perfectly legal under the Hebrew structure to translate it this way. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see if he would call them.
Or cause them to be brought unto.
You understand? I'm just telling you that this isn't important for any doctrinal issue. Don't give it doctrine. I'm just asking you to accept the possibility that the fall could not have taken place without language. There had to be some instrument. Adam had to have a way of saying he wasn't content in the state that he found himself in. Think about it.
You mean you can't say this is good and this is evil without language?
That's right.
Okay. Naming the animals.
Naming the name became the first level of the... Remember I told you that... Remember we talked there are 10 sorceries of Egypt? The first one is language.
If we didn't have a language, we'd invent one.
Only because of the fall.
Right. We've got to have it.
Without fall, you don't need language.
Right.
Son of a bitch.
Because you're in oneness with God, and there's everything is communication. There's only you and God. There's only God and others. There's no Again, remember, this is all a parable, folks. Don't literalize it.
Yeah, and this even talks about this is like the Tower of Babel.
Right. Right. Well, it will be.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like comparative awareness.
Well, yeah, the language causes comparison.
Yeah. It doesn't work without comparison.
And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Now, again, recognize, this is the mystery of the whole of the universe right here in one little nutshell. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. They were without shame before the fall. They now had the potential for the fall because they had language. They had names. You understand? Mm-hmm. Now comes the test. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. You understand what happened?
Yeah, I think Adam probably said, don't touch that damn, don't eat it, don't touch it, just stay away from it, don't go near it.
And he gave it power.
Yeah.
Now, do you understand the difference with the touching? There's nothing wrong with the touching. Touching is the instrument of having dominion over it. That's why Satan caused this transaction to take place, because there could be no dominion.
It's interesting that the subtlety was with words.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. You're not going to die. You're not going to experience shame. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You shall be as God. This is the only place in the scripture where to be as a God is defined. That's why Christ said so clearly, this is the only place where a child of hell is defined, from here through the rest of this chapter. He said, you shall travel over sea and land to make one convert. When he is made, you shall make him twofold the child of hell that you are. Why? Because they teach not just the fruit of the fall that you judge for yourself, good and evil, right and wrong, trying to get back together. But now you put twice as much good and evil on top of it in the name of God. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. She gained sustenance from it. And also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, the question of the universe, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman that thou gavest me to be with, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.
I don't know, but you know, when you were saying that, I just thought, the only shame, you know, as I think about it, the transaction, you know, is just all the thoughts that go on, the words that you repeat in your head. I mean, I don't understand what all, you know, some of the stuff you're getting, but I do understand that that's, there. You can't be suffering shame without popping yourself.
Right.
I mean, there's no other physical. I mean, there's nothing else that can happen.
Right.
It has to be. I mean, it's just these words. These.
And it's a
ethereal thing.
Neurological memory, or it's, I guess that's a, mm-hmm. it's a neural memory, that's a better way of saying it, back to that first point of separation, when you perceived that you were had an identity separate from the warmth, the issue that...
But just experiencing, I felt bad for myself for a moment. You know, then we read on, and God's response was, who has told thou that I was naked? Looking directly back to what Adam had just done, he had disobeyed God in eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
And he said, I can't be content in the state that I find myself. No. Hear me. The other evidence of shame is the inability to be content. If you find yourself in a state where you cannot be content, no matter what the external circumstances are, it's the presence of shame.
One other point, you know, just because I experienced this thing tonight, but prior to, you know, the thing that you said, I remember just now thinking earlier in the night, I was feeling intimidated by something we were talking about. And it was that word subtle triggered it, because it was just such a subtle thing.
That you and I were talking about?
No, that it was just being talked about. I mean, you were talking about it here. But it was such a, like it says, that circuit was so subtle that I passed it off. I didn't even... You know, I dismissed it, but it was like I had already, you know, like when Satan first approached.
You already named
something. Yeah, I mean, there was already that.
The seed of it was there.
Yeah, there was already a transaction.
That's why it says, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ, or beguile you. There is no, the revelation of Christ is the most simple of all things. The idea that you can know something that no one else in the universe knows, and to know that everything in the universe tells only one story, and every slice is only a different, whether it's a tree, or whether it's a universe, or whether it's the highest math there is, it can only tell one story, because it all came from one God. It can only reveal the purpose of God. So you, in that simplicity, in the elegance of that simplicity, you will be the counselor to kings, to counselor to PhDs. You don't ever have to look at yourself in any kind of looking down for any reason. Because looking down or trying to make yourself as though you're up are both the fruits of shame.
Casting down those imaginations, because they are rooted in evil.
Well, let me give you an example. Last night was a perfect example. Harry saw a little bit of it, but I talked about that if you must be in a place individually where you need nothing. Then will you, because you need nothing, because Christ has been lifted up in you. You have died on the cross. You need nothing. You are complete in Him, because you need nothing, and that has in effect created a vacuum, which causes a body to form. And the body, the mystery is, the body forms because you need nothing. Now, once the body exists, then you need the body more than life. But it can't exist if you need the body. You understand? You have to be complete. You individually have to be complete in Him now. Now you are complete in Him. Well, anyway, it just put trip of the universe. Because I said I was complete. And I didn't need anything. I said... She got blasted because you've literalized the parable. You've taken the great mystery of the universe where God said he would give you the desires of your heart, and you've translated it into a spiritual black hole with you as the center of the subject and the subject of the sentence. Oh.
Well, since you put it that way.
Pardon me. Never mind.
But it's, you know, and then a bit, and later on, I mean, the fact that I may have hurt her by saying me being that hard from her, then I had to go seek forgiveness and say, you know, talk about what I just talked about, that we do need.
If you didn't need anything, then you won't be taken.
You won't be deceived.
Yeah. I mean, or, well, yeah, but I mean, I think what's attractive is the somebody won't, coming to you, I don't feel like you're going to rip me off. Because you don't need anything.
You're not
going to use me. And yeah. I think that's probably,
yeah.
That's what comforts people is when they don't feel like that you want to take from them in order to.
Yeah, I don't need. When I say I mean each one of us, when we're in that state, now we are complete in him, we no longer commerce in.
See it in that little thing when we won't accept stuff from people.
Yeah, but by the same thing is what I'm getting at here is we don't need anyone's approval and we don't care of anyone's disapproval. That's part of this, the charm. I mean, it's wild. Anyway, heavy stuff, but interesting.